بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا، أما بعد. This is a kitab that was authored by Hazrat Mawlana Abdul Ghani Purpuri Rahmatul Ali. Shaykh Abdul Ghani Purpuri Rahmatul Ali was the Shaykh of Hazrat Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahmatul Ali. So you can say those of us that are Ba'at, in the same silsila, in the same chain. So this will be regarded as our Dada Shaykh or Great Dada Shaykh. And as you mentioned before, when it comes to Tasawwuf, just a ilm also, that a student of Deen has his sanad of Hadith. He has his sanad, his chain, for Hadith, who he learned from, and who his Ustaz was, who was the Shaykh of Hadith, who was his Ustaz, he goes up. So he goes to Imam Bukhari Rahmatullah Ali, Imam Muslim, Imam Abu Dawood, and the remaining of them, and he goes right up to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So even when it comes to Tasawwuf, we have a chain also. It goes up from who we learned these inner aspects of Ma'rifat and the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So just like how students of Deen, they take pride also. This is my Ustaz, this is his Ustaz, this is his Ustaz. So we have a whole chain. In the same way when it comes to our Tasawwuf also, we have a chain. You should know, the minimum was our Dada Sheikh, then the great-grandfather, spiritual great-grandfather, etc. So it creates that amount of love, muhabbat and affinity to the silsila. So this is a kitab, the title originally in Urdu, Usulul Usul, the treatise on the principles of Tasawwuf. By Hazrat Mawlana Shaykh Abdul Ghani Purpuri Rahmatullah Alayh, was a Khalifa Khas, the special Khalifa of Hakim al-Ummat, Hazrat Mawlana Ash-Shaabi Thani Rahmatullah Alayh. The kitab has been translated by Hafiz Yusuf Gundiwala, and Barakatuhu, who was also the Khalifa of Hazrat Arif Billah, Hazrat Mawlana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. So we'll begin this kitab, it's a bit in-depth, intricate also, but because we are in the line of Tasawwuf, and many of us, we've been for many years, we don't even really know what's it about. We just know, we took bed, we got a sheikh. And as Hazrat says also, sometimes the bed and the sheikh is about what the sheikh likes, what's his diet, I like the diet also. Right? And where he's going, I like to go there also. But really, whether my style is getting made, whether my habits are reforming, changing, it's immaterial. So that's not the tasawwuf now. That's not the tasawwuf. The tasawwuf is where a person Islam is made and realizes that what Allah Ta'ala is really sent him for in this world. So this is the treatise on the principles of Tasawwuf, in which the method of reaching Musul, Musul means closest to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, is discussed, which is entitled Usulul Wusul. This treatise has been written on the instruction of my master, leader and guide, Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat, Mujaddid al-Millat, Hazrat Mawlana Ash-Shaabi Thani Rahmatullah Alayh, commanded his Khalifa, Shaykh Abdul Ghani Purpuri Rahmatullah Ali, to write this kitab. So he said, Allah Ta'ala, for his qabr of Noor, these principles have been drawn from the works of Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali, which in reality have been compiled as an invaluable prescription from the spiritual pharmacy Ashrafi, in the form of a booklet. This book is divided into three parts, an introduction, a number of chapters, and a conclusion. Then Hazrat says the introduction discusses three aspects. The definition of suluk. We hear the word suluk every time. It is salik. And it's treading the path of suluk. Sometimes you'll hear these terms used in mashayikh bayan, sometimes Urdu bayans. So the definition of suluk. Suluk basically is a path. Salik is one that's treading the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then number two, the subject matters of suluk. And number three, the purpose and object of suluk. This is a very important thing. When you teach fiqh in madrasa also, you teach masla masail. So you got to know the objective. Why am I studying this? What's the end result? How to achieve it? So all these things are discussed in this kitab. Thereafter, Hazrat mentions one definition. What is the definition of suluk? The rectification of the akhlaqi batina. Rectification, the islah of the akhlaqi. Akhlaq in our character. Batina refers to your within, internal. Rectification of the akhlaq e batina, the inner character. Together with steadfastness on the amal e zahira, the outward actions is termed suluk. The suluk has to do with two things, your internal and your external. Internal basically in Quran and Hadith is termed as Iman. Iman has to do with your internal, that you believe with the heart, completely in Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala and all the injunctions of Allah. As it tells us also, the very Quran Sharif, you believe 100% in Quran Sharif, every ayat, in every letter, in every word, in every dot. But what happens sometimes, we believe it, in our heart we believe it. But our actions show disbelief. And I accept this ayat, but I go against it. So how to marry the two? That I believe it in my heart, this is riba is haram, intermingling is haram, music is haram, so and so things are impermissible. But Allah said it, I believe it. But then too I'm doing it. So externally, it shows that I don't believe it. My iman is so weak that I don't believe it. So how to marry the two? How to be synchronized? That my internal, external is correct. What I believe, I'm doing also. Now how to get that strength? Okay, I believe in it. I accept it 100%. But today, nowadays, the environment has become such that there's a direct attack on iman also. And that attack is not coming from external. It's from internal. They are, so to say now, whether we can call them ulama, but scholars. There are few in the country right now that even believe that the kuffar will go to Jannah. There is some certain alim right now in the country. Now look at the belief. Now they're confusing the masses. He says if the da'wat of Islam hasn't reached them and he dies upon kufr, then he's going to Jannah. He could be a person living in the city, in the town, but he hasn't heard about Islam really, or the intricacies of Islam, what does it entail. So there is some leeway for him to go to Jannah. Now, whether they're going towards Abrahamic Accord, now leave the external, the internal now is gone, kharab, and spoiled. So you're going to be so careful and all in the name of great alim and so many likes, so many subscribers. And the discussion this on recently also, that because on the social media platforms, the subscribers are sometimes many non-Muslims. So what do you have to present to them now? Things they like, to keep them as subscribers, or you get a backlash. So deen will be compromised completely. It shall become pro-humanitarian. They say one is pro-Palestinian, one is pro-Muslim, and one is pro-human. So many of them are going to that level, we are pro-human. We're just not only for Muslims, we're here for everyone. Make everybody Jannati. But yourself now, you are treading the path of Jahannam. So what is suluk? The rectification of the akhlaqi batina, the inner character. Together with the steadfastness on the amali zahira, that is outward actions, is termed suluk. Number two, what is the subject matter of suluk and tasawuf? Subject matter, what do we discuss? Akhlaqi batina, with respect to health and disease, is the subject matter of suluk. Akhlaqi batina, which refers to your inner character, with respect to the health of your inner. Alright, like how Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالُ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ بِخُوَدَ وَلَا تُخْزِينِ يَوْمَ يُبْعَثُونَ. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is making this dua. Now, when it comes to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah ta'ala already declared in Quran Sharif, وَإِذِ ابْتَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ. Beautiful translation of Hazrat makes well understanding. Remember the time when the Rabb of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam tested him with different types of tests. فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ literally means that he completed, perfected all of them. Hazrat says that he passed with flying colors. I would say passed with flying colors. If every test that he was thrown in the fire, whether his life, whether his father, whether his wife, whether leaving them, slaughtering his son, leaving Hajar, Safa, Marwa, flying colors, he passed completely. So he's making this dua, وَلَا تُخْزِينِ يَوْمَ يُبْعَثُونَ. Oh my Allah, on the day of Qiyamah, وَلَا تُخْزِينِ. Allah, don't embarrass me, don't humiliate me on the day when humanity will be resurrected. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالُ وَلَا بَنُونَ. That day, لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالُ وَلَا بَنُونَ, that wealth, no children, will be of any benefit. Allah, that day, don't embarrass me. Like keep my izzat on that day. The Nabi of Allah is making this dua. Allah says, how many of us make the dua really? You already feel now I'm going Jannah. I'm done already. He's making the dua after passing all the tests of life. إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهِ except that person who comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, brings to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a qalb salim, a sound heart. Turadu the heart. So the subject matter of suruk is akhlaq batina. With respect to our health, how healthy is your heart right now? The five tafsir. Wa qalb salim, a sound heart. Hakim Sahib Rahimullah has taught us Ruh al-Ma'ani, the five tafsir, what is qalb salim. We don't have time for that right now. On another occasion we'll discuss it inshallah. What is a sound heart? So, how healthy is your akhlaq batina, your inner character, and how diseased is it? This is a subject matter of suluk, where the mashayikh, they go into these details of the heart, how to rectify your inner character. And the third discussion in regards to the tasawwuf and suluk, the purpose and object of suluk. What must I gain from this? Now we said the itikaf, went to Ramadan. So, what do we want from this? So the aim and objective of suluk to embellish the nafs with the constructive virtues, to embellish, to beautify the nafs with the constructive virtues, or akhlaqi hamida. So what is akhlaqi batina, inner character? Then you get akhlaqi hamida, like Abdul Hamid. Hamid refers to praiseworthy. So akhlaqi hamida is the object of suluk to beautify the nafs, your inner self, with the constructive virtues, meaning with good qualities within you. And akhlaqi hamida, also praiseworthy character, this is the object of suluk. That idha ru'u dhukir Allah. They say among the signs of having this nisbat and connection with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is that when somebody sees you, he thinks of Allah. The awliya, when they are looked at, then you think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you sit with them and they speak, then they remind you of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So this is basically suluk and tasawuf. Then as it starts of chapter 1, necessity for and the salient features of a sheikh, how to what to look for in a sheikh. The system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala functions such that no perfection in any quest is attainable without a teacher or guide. Even Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the most perfect human being, say all praise after Allah tabarak wa ta'ala was Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. In every aspect, whether it be internal or external, he was Muhammad. The one that deserves praises. His name was kept Ahmad Muhammad. So no perfection in any quest is attainable without a teacher or a guide. The Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. And he would guide him, wahi would come to him, would ask him for mashwara also. When one is blessed with the tawfiq, the inclination and ability to tread this path, one should necessarily seek out a teacher and guide along the path by the Fez, you say the Fez, the fuyuz of the Shaykh. Fez means the effulgence. Nur belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like how we use the word mu'jiza. Mu'jiza is a word used for the miracles of Anbiya alayhim as-salatu wa-salam. They show a mu'jiza. Mu'jiza comes from the word a'jaza yu'jiza, means to make somebody helpless. So mu'jiza refers to such an action they display that make the people helpless, the speechless. This we can't combat. This we can't take on. Musa alayhi salatu wa-salam. So this mu'jiza. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, mu'jiza, who could take it on? This the Quran itself was a mu'jiza. Bring 10 ayat, bring one ayat, bring one surah. Alif lam mim, or Arab, you take pride in your poetry. So translate alif lam mim, these are letters from your own alphabets. So, you can't translate. Allah Ta'ala gave a challenge. The translate is kaf, ha, ya, ayn, sad. Translate, can't translate. So, Quran made them ajiz, made them helpless. They were dumbfounded. And when awliya show miracles, we call it karamat. Let's say karamat. So different words are used. So for the mashayikh, we say the fuyuz, or the phase, the effulgence of his teachings and blessings, of his companionship, one will reach the destination. Due to the fact that without knowing the salient features, such a search will not be possible. Therefore, we shall mention at this stage the requirements and signs found in a Shaykh Kamil, a perfect guide. Here also over the weekend, as it mentioned so beautifully, that when the Mashaykh give ijazat, when they give khilafat, is that always a khilafat of Kamal? That is giving you a khilafat because you reach a certain level. In this zamana, most of the khilafat is khilafat of islah. That you have the potential now to really start your islah. This is khilafat. Now you feel a little pressure now. But you know what? Now I've got a khilafat, I've got permission now. I can't be like how I was before. Now Asr namaz finished, Fajr namaz finished, no tasbihat, I go sit outside and talk. Oh, my Nawafil Ajiz Adil go. Oh, talking in the masjid. Oh, sitting in the back of the masjid. Now I learned all this, you know, into the masjid, how to renew my inner self now. Is that permission now making my islah that now I'm listening? That's why it's so important, as the states, those that have ijazah, those that have khilafat, to be in every majlis. It shouldn't be that now they miss out something which is so important that others know and they don't know about it. So how is it bring them now to kamal and perfection when they don't know the details of what the sheikh is teaching? Others are learning, and the ones that have the ijazah to pass it on haven't learned these things. And those that don't have, they are teaching them. Whereas now you should be in the forefront. I should be knowing really what is the teaching of the sheikh in regards to eating, sleeping, walking, talking, masjid, salah, etc. So they should be in the forefront. Because now they have permission to make islah of themselves and also to guide others. So they should be even more careful. This is what you hear commonly now. Right? What you hear commonly, as it says also, that when permission is given, then by the actions of others, they don't pick on the person. They say, yeah, he's better to so-and-so sheikh. So they blame it to the sheikh. Students of deen also, from that madrasa. But the madrasa is teaching him the right things. Now he's walking crooked. He's walking in the wrong place. His topi came on. This is the topi came on. The cap came on. On top of the cap came the sunglasses, supposed to be now on his eyes, but he's in the back of the cap. They don't know which direction he's walking now. Front or back. He doesn't know himself which way he's going. That's why he took out his kurta, took out his topi, took out everything. He's uncertain about his direction also. So, therefore we shall mention at this stage the requirements and signs found in a Sheikh Kamil, a perfect guide. So as you mentioned, sometime the mashayikh will give ijazat and khilafat of islah, not of kamal, that now you reach certain level, perfection is there, so alhamdulillah, now you can guide others. So now more than often we give, the person has the potential to start making islah properly, start listening with both the ears and ears of the heart. Okay, I must take this in. Till now also, my shaykh is telling me how to stand in namaz, how to fold my hands in salah. Then I'm not coming right. Now give the khilafat, now I start taking, start learning. Now others will know you got khilafat. Many brothers now say, no, we don't take bayat openly. We don't tell everybody I'm a khalifa. Why? Because I still carry on my lifestyle. No, but I want to be there. Right, when the food is being served, then I'm there with the sheikh. Right? And I put more in his plate, and if you can't finish it, I'll finish it. So, this is not khilafat. Khilafat is when I got this desire. If Ya Allah, I want to reach you. And if Ya Allah, you can use me and accept me for the guidance of others, alhamdulillah. Why not? So the qualities of a Shaykh Kamil. The first one, he must possess knowledge of the Sharia to the extent of necessity, either by direct acquisition or by virtue of companionship with the ulama, so that he may be able to protect himself as well as those seeking guidance from corruption with respect to aqaid, beliefs and amal actions. Very importantly, it applies to all of us, that the Shaykh must possess that amount of knowledge of Sharia to the extent of necessity. In all aspects in aqaid, right, we discuss these five aspects always. Imaniyat, akhlaqiyat, ibadat, mu'amalat, mu'asharat. Those that have permission, they should be learning these things already. And now we should know these things, because people are going to ask us, and what happens commonly you'll find. Already within our circles, people are coming to us for advice already. People are coming to us for advice. So we got to hear from our mashayikh what advice they are giving. So I don't give the wrong advice. There's no need to reinvent the wheel. The problems will be the same till Qiyamah. And they've done all the work already. So either he has this knowledge of Sharia by direct acquisition, he's become an alim himself, or by virtue of companionship with the ulama, sitting with them, and he learnt now, right, the etiquette and the mustahabbat, the sunnats, the wajibat, the faraiz, how to do things, how to carry yourself out, by spending time with them. And the amazing thing, by spending time with the mashayikh, the amazing thing of spending time with the mashayikh is that by spending time with them, you won't even realize that the qualities are rubbing off on you. And then people will tell you, but you're better so-and-so person. How you knew? Because you look like him, or you did namaz like that also. So even you won't realize that you become, like when you come to normal company also, a young boy, 10 years old, 15 years old, alright, now he's got going into a new standard, new grade. And then after a couple of weeks, mother says, you know, what's wrong with you? Your whole character has changed. Now he's just talking anyhow. He doesn't realize himself also. Until you ask him, where you heard this words and all from? Your friends, yeah, friends talk like that. Just picks it up. And he doesn't think anything about it. In the same way, just staying with the pious people, you become like them as long as your eyes are open. Your eyes are open and your ears and your heart is open, automatically you'll pick up. You see how they eat, you see how they drink, you see how they make wudu, for example. Right? Many people, with Awan Hazrat Wala, many years with him also, but then too they won't see. Hazrat will make wudu, after wudu, many a person will be standing there with a face cloth. He doesn't use a face towel. Doesn't use towel also. It's more sunnah not to wipe. So very quickly he wipe his limbs, wipe probably the water on his face, etc. and done. Now, sometimes the person is so long there in the company, but doesn't notice anything. Now, what's he there for now? Just for the joyride, or for the da'wahs, whatever it is. Now, you should notice all these things. And my sheikh doesn't, and then Hazrat, when he has his tea also, well, that's now, this is habits, etc. But you know these things already. What he likes to eat first, what he likes to eat there after. When he comes washing hands after eating also. Then Hazrat, sahaba radiallahu anhum, they would wash their hands, and they would not wipe it. That residue, that oil left over, they rub it on their elbows and their ankles, on their beard, because it's still oil. But once you wash your hand, the scent is gone more or less. There's just that little bit residue there, and they wipe it. Now we use lotions and creams, they would use that oil over there. And our husband is the same thing. So you pick up all these habits. Otherwise, then a person carries on and really has no affinity. I'm bad over there, but I really don't know these habits. And as I mentioned, Allah has to pick it up from his mashayikh. They picked it up from their mashayikh. It goes right up to Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. So just companionship with the ulama so that he may be able to protect himself as well as those seeking guidance from corruption with respect to aqaid. And how beautifully Allah has it, mashallah, as a complete, comprehensive and compact syllabus for us. In Ramadan especially we see it. It touches every aspect. When it comes to iman, the whole discussion is there. Akhlaq, whole kitab on akhlaq. The etiquettes. And when it comes to business dealing, social interaction, and all these things, Hazrat has, mashallah, taught us everything. How to perform salah, practically also. How to perform salah. How to make wudu. When it comes to ghusl, here also we discuss sunnah ghusl, to sit down as much as possible, have this frosted glass in your bathroom. Everything he taught us, either the sunnah or closest to sunnah. What kind of pants to wear? What kind of kurta to wear? So all these things, alhamdulillah, we have been taught by our sheikh. So somebody has to ask you for guidance. So when it comes to aqaid, beliefs and a'mal, how did he know? When it comes to awabin also, he taught us awabin. Tahajjud also, ishraq, all these things, alhamdulillah. The whole day what we need to do, he gave us already all the teachings. Just follow it. And then he gives us more tarqib. And then one thing Hazrat will put right. And listen, open your ears, listen. Put it right, put it right, put it right. Correct it. Those years will go on and still the same, no progress whatsoever. That's the first thing, he has correct, sufficient knowledge. Secondly, the shaykh should be a muttaqi. That is one who saves himself from committing major sins and from persistently committing minor sins. So major sins, he stays away from it. And also, when it comes to minor sins, doesn't persist upon it. As far as possible, he refrains from minor sins. Remember, only the Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam are ma'asoom. They are sinless. Sahaba ikram are mahfuz. They are protected from sin. The mashayikh are not like that. They try their best. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He keeps them in His rahmat, in His mercies. And they try their best to stay away from the sins. And that too also the Tanwir rahmatullah alayhi says, that when it comes to the ulama, the awliya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also allows them to slip up. So no takabbur and pride comes in them also, that I'm doing. And they are safe from the takabbur and pride, which is a killer disease. So sometimes they will slip up also. Thirdly, the shaykh should be a tarika dunya, one who has given up the world, and a raghiba akhira, one who inclines towards the hereafter. This will hear in the bayans also. When they will give targhib towards akhirat, away from dunya, you should be steadfast and constant in outward and inward ta'at, that is obedience. So you should be steadfast and constant in outward obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't involve in haram activities, intermingling, photography, videoing, all these are haram. Now, people might say, but there's ikhtilaf. There's difference of opinion in regards to it. Once we hear ikhtilaf, already we feel now watered down. Okay, that's so heavy. That's such a bad thing. So So this is incorrect. As we mentioned before, the default mode of any ikhtilaf, difference of opinion, is precaution. Stay away. Not try it out. Just leave it out. Don't do it. When you see ikhtilaf, you say, okay, some ulama are doing it, so it's okay. No such thing. They might have misunderstood also the masla of ikhtilaf. Right, there's ikhtilaf in it. What's the masla? Don't do it. Not do it. So here when it comes to obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so this is inwardly, outwardly, they have this in their life. Otherwise, it will have an adverse effect on the heart of the seeker. When the, like how one ustaz also, parent came to complain to the ustaz, that my son, he overindulges in sweets and chocolates. So please advise him. So, let me just put that into the table. Okay. Put the aircon on, you can put it on this. So, the ustaz told the parent, bring him after 3 days. He said, after 3 days. You just tell him now, advise him, bring him after 3 days. So, when they brought him after 3 days, they advised the young boy, let's see, give up all these things over here. The boy gave it up. So, when the ustaz asked him, why after 3 days, he said, because I was also involved in it. Suppose I had to leave it out, then I can advise him. And he was having gur. Gur is that molasses. He used to enjoy molasses. It wasn't very good for the health. He said, I had to give it up at least and make tawbah. Before I can tell this young boy, they come on, ustaz of Hibs told me also. He says, Marana, me as a Hibs ustaz, if I don't read my Quran for the day, how do I expect my learners to learn sabak at night? I haven't read my Quran. There's a parent also, if I'm not reading Quran Sharif every day, then he used to be shouting and telling my son, don't do what I do. Do what I tell you. Doesn't work like that. You also have some amount of fares also, some fuse. If you blow your fuse, what happened to your children now? So you blew your fuse also, effulgence, you don't have it. Nothing is going to go in him. So in the same way, in effect, the seekers around him also. At the same time, this is enough for the mashayikh. So as the Kimsa will say, rahmatullah alayh, that when a person abuses his eyes, they look at haram. Then he says, it's like a mini explosion takes place within that person. Looking at haram, mini explosion takes place within his underpants. So every time he's looking, he's activating. It weakens him, and he says, these things go on in life for a long period. And this causes many other diseases. It causes the heart to become weak. They can lead to heart attacks also. It can lead to paralysis also. So he says, most of the physical diseases stem from spiritual diseases. And then Hazrat will say also that a person gets white very quickly because of excessive anger. Then the other way Hazrat will say is that you must take for yourself. But you don't use that to judge others. Oh, you had a heart attack because you got an eye problem. You had a heart attack because you got an eye problem. Oh, you turned white quickly because you got a ghussa problem. You got an anger problem. Hazrat mentioned there was an ustaz in Darul Uloom Deoband, over 80 years old. Had a single strand of grey hair on his beard also, absolutely black. So somebody asked him, Hazrat, over 80 years old, no grey hair, no white hair, full black. What's the secret? Ghussa mat hona. Don't get angry. He said, but how you manage to get angry? He said, my grandson made my tarbiyat one time. So how grandson made your tarbiyat? So he says that his room was on the second floor of the boarding in Darul Uloom Deoband. So then one day he was going for Salah, so he saw his grandson playing down. So he said, better come for Namaz. I'm coming. He went for Salah, and he came back, the boy was still playing. He said, I sat on my charpai in my bed, and I called him upstairs. Came. So before I could ask him if he went for Namaz, I know he didn't go. Before I could ask him, he says, then I went to Lal Masjid, and so a friend of yours gave salam for you. Left him. Next Namaz is leaving also, boy still playing. Hello, better go for Namaz. Dada, I'm coming, you carry on. So he went. Then he came back and said, boy, still playing on. Call him. He said, Dada, I went to the Yellow Masjid. A friend of yours gave salam for you also. Third Namaz, he went for still playing downstairs. He said, now let's see. Came back, he still called him up. He said, before you could say any Masjid name, he said, I stood up from the charpai to grab him and hit him, and my Naru broke. From the Naru, the elastic gave up. Elastic, if I held my pants, the izzat will go. I said, bhag jao yahan se, get out from here. He said that Naru broke, elastic gave up, and my ghusa and my anger also broke. Never got angry again. Allah showed me, you already hit it, so your Naru broke. Naru refers to that string they put usually on the pants. He said, don't get angry. But the fourth quality of a Shaykh al-Kamil, he should be observant of his murids. He should be observant of his murids. If he sees them contravening Sharia, that is the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or tariqat, that is the road of tasawwuf, in any way he should reprimand them. He should reprimand them. This becomes easier for the mashayikh when we tell them, Hazrat, open card. You see me doing any wrong, then you must rectify me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Hazrat also. Is that whatever we learn from you. We do anything wrong, please tell us. If you don't tell us, who's going to tell us? Nobody put us right. Right? And how many seeker also threatens a wife? You tell Hazrat and you see. You brunt me out and you tell anything about me, you're going to have problems. It should be open. Please report me. Please report me so I come right. But we are afraid. So even Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to observe Sahaba radiallahu anhu bi muqi ayinihi from the corner of his eye during salat performance. Then he used to rectify and correct them. But it makes it easier now. And this happens when there's more affinity. When there's more ittila, there's more communication with the Shaykh, then all the barriers are broken. Then there's free. There's freedom of communication between them. Then he can. Then the Shaykh is easier now, I can tell him. Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahimahullah, Hazrat mentioned one time also, there's so much of free communication with Hazrat. There was, they had a dawah somewhere, and it was like a tea dawah in dessert, and Hazrat Wala was sitting opposite Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah. Dastar Khan was laid out. So somebody gave the dessert. So our Hazrat now stepped over the Dastar Khan to give Hazrat Hakim Sahib the bowl. And he said, the way he shouted, reprimanded me, you're not in it. Then he taught me a lesson. He said, he shouted, and he was visibly very upset that we haven't learnt as yet. Hazrat said, what did I do? So how dare you put your foot on the Shahi Dastar Khan? How dare you put your foot on the royal Dastar Khan? Allah Ta'ala has given us over here. Don't ever put your foot on the table spread. This, and then Hazrat King Sahib explains so beautifully. He says that the king has a throne. The king has a throne. Nobody sits on the throne. Nobody dares putting his foot on the throne. He says the throne of Allah Ta'ala's ni'mat is called Dastar Khan. Allah Ta'ala has a test with food. Look at our brothers in Palestine. Ya Allah, what's happening to them? Right? What a weapon they're using is in food. So Qamru Zaman Sahib, Namun Barakatuh, has a whole chapter in regards to just food being a ni'mat of Allah. You can imagine, just for us to understand, the beggar that's on the street, living on the street under the bridge. We see him sitting in the morning for that time, waiting outside the masjid. Right? He slept last night without fikr in his heart. What am I going to have for breakfast? You don't sleep with the fikr. He doesn't know tomorrow where the breakfast is going to come from. At all. So even if you give him a mug, right, you see a beggar there, I got some spare mugs now. So give him one mug, what's he going to do with it? He don't even have a tea bag. Well, I give him a tea bag also. Where do I keep it? I live on the street. Give him 2 liter milk. What do I do with this? Right, and all these things, this just to make one cup of tea only. Just to make one cup of tea, there's so many things goes in there. So even if you give him a whole basket of that, so where do I keep this? The milk will go bad. The tea bags also, where can I keep it safe? So his whole night he slept just thinking, tomorrow, where I'm going to get that one cup of tea only. And when he gets it, oh, he made his entire day. But remember, when he's drinking that cup of tea, what's he thinking about already? Lunch. What am I going to have for lunch? I don't know where he's going to come from. Maybe somebody might give me something. But he's got nothing. Doesn't have a utensil, doesn't have a plate, doesn't have a piala, one glass, one cup, nothing. Right? The most he might have, as I say, one begging bowl. That's it. Whereas we never thought of this any time in our life. What we're going to eat next, where we're going to eat. It's already like done. Nobody is here sitting here thinking about breakfast tomorrow morning. What am I going to eat now? It's already. Like it's already done. For him, that's his daily fikr. Every day he's living with this fear of what he's going to eat next. So, what was the point? So when it comes to Dastar Khan, the spread. So Hakim Sahib mentioned that Dastar Khan is actually the throne for the greatest ni'mat of Allah, which is food. After iman, the physical bounty, the greatest bounty is food. He says, Allah Ta'ala, save us that we ever be tested with food only. When you're tested with food, Ya Allah, what are you going to do? There's no food available. Right? You have all the cash, all the money. And we know when you came to riot's time, when you came to one loaf of bread, how much people are prepared to pay? You want to see what food is. Right now, we don't even bother about it. We just go buy. So as I said, Akif had taught us that time. Just the Dasturkhan, how to set the Dasturkhan. Dasturkhan should be a separate spread altogether. And what you're sitting on should not be overlapping the Dasturkhan. Dasturkhan will be overlapping what you're sitting on. And it shouldn't be on the same level also. That you put now, for example, one big Dasturkhan, one big table cloth. And on the tablecloth, you put the plate there, the food, and you sit on the tablecloth. It says, no. The throne will be different. The throne has to be. So you're going to put another sheet over there, put another piece of plastic there. Now you put the food on top of that. And you wait for the food to come. You wait for the food to come, and as the king Sa'ab will say, Rahimahullah, Akrimul Khubs. Man kana yu'minu billah wal yawm al-akhiri. The person who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, final day, he should honor the bread. The bread must come first. What must go away first also should be the bread. But bread, roti, is something which is honorable. But that must come first, and that must go first. So all these things that the king Sa'ab taught us, with this tartib, this adab, this etiquette, don't just come to eating only. So that is the king of all bounties is food. Those is affinity. So the sheikh are rectifying the murid. So when his affinity is there, then it's easier now to rectify the person. So the sheikh should be observant of his murid. If he sees them contributing shari'at or tariqat in any way, shari'at, the laws of Allah, tariqah, the path of suluk in any way, he should reprimand them, he should tell them. He should tell them, and before when he comes, it was a relationship with students before, and the mashayikh and the murid. Before actually the murids and the students should take actually pleasure in getting shouted also. Has they shouted me? Like our ustaz now, in class, he would tease the boys. He would tease the boys, sometimes embarrass you also. Sometimes you read the wrong text in the kitab, and he'll make you out a little bit. And the boy will feel a bit now. He said, I only joke with those I love. I only joke with those I love. So, before it was something of, hey, Ustaz gave me one clap. Of all the boys, I got one shot. And he would enjoy it. I got one. So the mashayikh before, so the murids have said that they were, hey, I got a shouting today. But now, it's so much of pride, I got hurt. I'm not going back for program now. They only get shouted here. I mean, it was a small mistake and he jahad me. He shouted me. Embarrassed me to know everybody. Those statements breed of pride. Who do you think you are now? What you came here for then? What you came here for then? Now you got embarrassed. It shows now that how much of pride I'm holding in my heart that I felt embarrassed. But as Hakim Sahib Rahimullah, when he came to Mir Sahib, he would tell him that, oh, big majma, stand up and tell them, give me a gada from a donkey. And you see, with pleasure, with relish. As I said, I must say that I'm a donkey. And how you would enjoy it. And then they would look eye to eye. The Muhammad is this. Ears wouldn't turn red also. Why? He believed it. I am a donkey. Come to my husband, I'm a donkey. He can do what he wants with me. Because like a mayyit in the hands of the ghasil, like the dead body in the hands of the person giving ghusl. And on this now, what heights a person will reach. Not that the mashayikh enjoy embarrassing and humiliating the murid. No, definitely not. But sometimes we'll see, person needs a little bit now. Right? A little bit of tarbiyat. So he should reprimand them. Fifthly, he must have a quiet suhbat. The shaykh should have a quiet suhbat, companionship of the buzruks, the pious ones. And must have derived fuyuz, that is, effulgence and barakat, spiritual bounties and blessings from them, meaning they make dua for him. They made dua for him also. He took the duas of the buzruks and the awliya. They made dua for him because duas carry a person very far in life. You don't realize that duas. I remember that time when Yusuf Qadir Sahib rahimahullah, how he explained what duas was so beautiful when he went for the bypass that time. And when he returned and he gave the first bayan, and then he mentioned to his congregation of Balancing Road, and he says, Alhamdulillah, the operation went so well. I was so comfortable. that every Saturday I turned the right to the left, the people's du'as or the cushions everywhere, just cushioning me. I felt no pain whatsoever. And Allah Ta'ala makes it like that. I didn't feel anything. Must have lost a dear one, a close one. And then subhanAllah, mashayikh come to visit you, ta'ziyat. And imagine now the senior ulama come to your house. Right? You're just in senior ulama in our area. Right? Talimuddin ulama came from there. The Magdasab came, that one came. Will you feel any pain now? Yes, subhanAllah. Mashayikh, he gave me dua. All the pain is gone now. I got the du'as now. And how your heart feels so light, they didn't make du'a for me. So, he also received and derived fuyuz and barakat, spiritual bounties and blessings from them. And he also, when Hazrat asked, Hazrat, tell us about the seniors and buzruks, their love for you. They say, oh, that makes a whole different chapter altogether. From the time I was young, what the buzruks, what nazar, shafqat and love they showed me, I don't know why. But they always loved me. From my ustaz, Abu Sallu Sa'ab Rahmatullah Ali, was there to one of the great mashayikh, I can't remember right now. And Mufti Sanjalvi Rahmatullah Ali, Hafiz Abdul Rahman Miya Sa'ab Rahmatullah Ali. There's so much of muhabbat and love. Hafiz Sa'ab, if you love me so much, Hafiz Abdul Rahman Miya was there, was the ustaz of Asatiza. Alright, all our senior ulama did his by him. Mufti Ibrahim Sallaji Sa'ab. Allah Harun Abbas Umar Rahmatullah Ali, all of them did. He was by him. He said he had so much of muhabbat for me, he would teach me everything practically. So one day I went to madrasa also, and that time to have studded buttons. Nobody remember the old style. I had chain on it. So I had nice gold ones. They have all smart ones before. So he said, when I walked into the class, Abu Sahab called me. With such compassion, he took out those buttons. He put plastic ones for me. He said, this is right for you. So much of muhabbat, so much of love. He taught me everything practically. And as going on also, he said, Mufti Mahmoud Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, my ustaz, taught me Darul Ulum Diyobun, I used to make his khidmat at night. Make malish, giving me head massage, body massage. And one night he fell asleep and I continued. About 2 o'clock in the morning or so, Mufti Sahib woke up and said, you're still here. Said, yeah, Hazrat, usually you tell me to go away, today you stepped away. I carried on. He said, it was just me and him. And he sat up from the bed, took out his kurta, and he put it on for me. And he made dua for me. Say the khidmat say khuda milta hai. So khidmat you get the love of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Then, now recently Hazrat mentioned also that I have so many kurtas by me of all the mashayikh, give me his hadiyah, the kurtas, out of love and muhabbat for me. The Hazrat mentioned a couple of months ago, gave me his car guzari, so my nikah day I wore 3 kurtas. One kurta of Shahakim, one kurta of Mufti Mahmood sahab, one kurta of the Shaykh Zakaria sahab rahmatullah alayhi. My name is Hassan, I think it was. And he corrected for 3 mashayikh. So all the barakat said, my nikah day, it was the best kurtas to me. Which my mashayikh gave me out of love and muhabbat. So from there you can understand the amount of fuyuz he derived from the mashayikh. The barakat he got from them. Right? And Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahimullah also, and Hazrat told him, I had a few dreams about you, but Nabi Ali Salatu Salam, Hakim Sahib was so ecstatic, he called his kurta, put it on for him. So how many kurtas the mashayikh gave him, subhanAllah? This is the barakat in the fuyuz that they derive. So he must have acquired the sohbat companionship of the buzruks and must have derived fuyuz and barakat, spiritual bounties and blessings from them. 6-3. His acceptance must be greater among the khawas. His acceptance, the acceptance of the shaykh must be greater among the khawas, the ulama and the fuqara. Who the khawas? The very special ones. The ulama and the fuqara, the learned and the saintly ones. That they regard him most as a pious person. That they will host him in their masjids also. They will call him to give bayans. If they're having a jalsa, then they'll give him a spot also. So you can see already he is accepted in their circles. That they realize that he has something in him. Alhamdulillah, he's learned from us, he's taken from us. Like when Wala Muhammad Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah Ali passed away, the second Amir of Tabligh. So the big mashwara took place in Nizamuddin. So in that interim period, the Shaykh Zakaria Sahib Rahimullah, he was the Amir. But that morning bayan, first Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Abrahimullah, he used to give the bayan in the morning after Fajr, almost 3-hour bayan. And he used to speak only about the Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam and Quran. And then came Mawlana Muhammad Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, his son, Qurrat Hayat al-Sahaba. His bayans were only the lives of Sahaba, in detail, as if he was there in that time, how they spend the day, how they spend the evening, the morning, the domestic life, the business life, all that he opened up. So, Imagine the level of bayan that was being given now from Nizamuddin that time. Whatever was said, said in the morning bayan from that kursi, from that chair, went internationally. Whoever came 4 months, 4 months, 4 months, that time, jamaats were coming. They heard those were the main bayans in the morning, and the people used to be writing, take it back home. Marana said this, Marana said that. Now, Hazrat Jithani, Marana Muhammad Yusuf Sahib Rahimullah, he passed away. Now, who filled in that gap? Because the Shaykh Rahimahullah, when they were making a mashwara, so his eyes fell upon Marana Muhammad Umar Palampuri Rahmatullah Ali. They say, Marana Palampuri, he'll take the bayan in the morning. He was a young man that time. Now, who's going to sit on that chair? He did a 3 hour bayan on that level. This was now ilhami. What they were speaking was coming from Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. So he's mentioned the next morning after Fajr, as the Shaykh Rahimahullah was hefty also in the wheelchair, and also very jalali, so to say, when he would speak at a very heavy voice. So Fajr namaz finished, chair was brought front. Only Umar Sahib is there coming. Where is Mali Umar Sahib? Can't find him. Sit in one corner of the masjid. Banglawali Masjid in Nizamuddin. He had himself covered in a shawl completely. Entire night he didn't sleep, he had fever. Like if you remember when you were in Jamaat and the first time he told you, your bayan tomorrow morning after Fajr, or your Gaj bayan, already now your mind is gone. You don't know what you're eating also. I have to give that bayan. Now you're going to speak now, not only to Nizamuddin, the whole world, what you're going to say, you're going to say. He had fever the entire night. Sitting there, he's shivering with fever, covered with his shawl. But the Shaykh Rahimahullah just asked one time, Wali Umar kaha hai? With a heavy voice of his. He says, I heard the Shaykh's voice, my fever broke. I removed the shawl, I sat down and started. The Shaykh sat over there, and he made tawajjuh, he made dua for him. His face, his barakah, his ifalj, the Shaykh Rahimahullah is still alive till today. To fazail amal, fazail hajj, which hajj is not reading it? Still alive, fazail durud, 40 durud. So, mashallah, his fuyuz, his barakat is still in the ummah. So he started speaking, and the Shaykh sat there for about 2 weeks, then he left. Then he came back after some time, and he sat again in the bayan. So when he sat in the bayan, and he heard Mawlana Umar Sahib's bayan, then he made a statement and he said, that which is in our hearts, meaning the khawas, the very high ranking ulama and awliya, and that which is in our hearts for the ummah, Allah has put into the tongue of Mawlana Umar. He's speaking our hearts right now. So this is now the barakah they have taken. So his acceptance must be greater among the khawas, the special ones, the ulama and the fuqara. Fuqara refers to the saintly ones, in comparison to acceptance among the general masses. General masses, you can see, you've got a nice flowery speaker, they'll follow. They'll follow, they'll like, they subscribe. But you see the ulama who they follow. That's why it's so unfortunate nowadays that our local ulama, alhamdulillah, they have brought the ummah to the level of what they know now. To the maktab system, tirelessly they taught them. Taught the children came and the rest of them, and all of a sudden now they're thrown out. And now you're redundant, now you want international speakers. Now you call this one from here, that one from there, as if now the ulama, they brought us to the level that we can understand what that person is saying. Now we don't want the local ulama now. I want somebody, some fancy speaker with an accent or something new, some watered down deen. But they gave us all these years. Right? They taught us in the maktab, taught our children, second generation, third generation. We are able to read Quran Sharif to their barakat. Now all of a sudden now, they say they're backwards, what they know, maybe in times. But they brought us up to this time right now. In the seventh quality, the effect of his suhbat, the effect of his companionship will be such that it increases one's tawajjuh ila Allah, attention towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By sitting with him, then it increases one's attention towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and decreases one's thoughts and inclination towards the dunya. That's how a person feels sitting in the company of the Shaykh, that really I want to become the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I can cut down my dunya, it will be perfect. Spend more time in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The eighth quality, his words must be akin to those of the preceding Buzrugan Adeen. What he's saying also is copy and paste. Not his own vibe. Came out with his own terminologies and his own thing now. And he's taking all his malfuzat from the internet. And also we should be very, very careful right now. Many, many malfuz and sayings on the internet, we read about Allama Rumi Rahmatullahi, are not true. That is the whole discussion in post right now that there are many Orientals that attribute their own things to Allama Rumi. And all what they say there is all like romantic things about love and ecstasy and bliss, and this is not Allama Rumi's thing. They use it now for love for their wives and love for their children, and how he says it's not his thing. A lot of them are misconstrued and they attribute it to him, but it's not his things. So whatever he's saying now is similar to those of the Muzrugani Deen. He's just saying his own thing. And here Hazrat says also, when it comes to the Mashayikh, you'll find them that what they are saying basically, what they heard from their elders. Alright? It's just some fancy flowery thing. It's simple, got to do with your life, got to do with you. You're not just now, what a talk it was. But why, what you learnt? It was a top by it. What you learnt? Really no substance. There's nothing really, nothing material. And now most of the flowery speakers, what they're speaking about, be a good human. Hey, talk to me, speak nice to people. Be accommodating to them. Help people out. Be charitable. Don't judge anyone. Don't be judgmental. Be tolerant. All the same things. Abrahamic Accord. All the same thing. So I'm a good person. I'm a good person. Thank people. Remove some harm from their way. How you can assist, help them also. Whether male or female. Doesn't matter. Be a good human being. So they're all speaking the same thing that attracts everyone. But Shaykh has said the same thing. But they're saying it in a style on social media. And they've got so many followers. This guy is giving the bayah to be good. That's the essence of Sharia. It's without saying you have to be like that. But they say these things, and that's how they attract the people, and the layman, the non-Muslim also, they love these things. So what the Mashayikh are saying, and how this happens, Hazrat mentions, that when a person takes bay'ah to a sheikh, is the salik turning the path of suluk to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so he attaches himself like a tap to the matkah. Matkah is an earthen pot which you put water inside. The Shaykh Rahimullah will give the example. He just attached himself, they're prepared to become a tap, so to say. Like how the brick now in the haram, right, was part of the toilet. And now they want to expand the haram. So the brick said, no, I don't want to be part, give me the toilet. Give me the toilet. But the brick said, I'll give up myself. So before we could enter the toilet, we read, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika. Now you read, Allahumma aftah li abwaaba rahmatik. Now the whole nisbat has changed with that brick. In the same way now, the person is prepared now. That has said, you make me now. So he'll mold you. Now attach you to the matkah. So in the matkah, there's water. Water is coming, now there's a pipe coming through. The pipe is attached now to the main water supply. Main water supply is getting water from the reservoir. Then from the dam. Then from the river. Then from the ocean. So there's a whole connection. So as the Shaykh Rahimullah would say, that the ocean is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then you have all the rivulets, all the mashayikh that are connected there. Whichever way, whatever the expertise are, whatever the inclinations are, they're connected to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And from there he says, now they're all connected right, you come to the tap. He says, all you have to do is attach yourself to the matka and allow the shaykh to open the tap. Once he opens it now, there's no need to use the brain too much. Why? It's coming from the top. You just got part of the system now. So just open the tap and you just speak what they spoke. It just gonna flow down. ثُمَّ إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا بَيَانَا. That with the coming of every zamana, period of time, Allah Ta'ala put on the tongue of the awliya what bayan to give right now. What do the people need right now? Like for example, we were discussing over the weekend also, when it comes to social media now, who's not going onto it? Everybody is going onto it. One of the students of Deen are asking, but they got a viewership of 200,000, 2 million. Now, how are we going to reach all of them? How are we going to reach so many thousands of people? So, we told them that, okay, let's close all the madaris. Every person have a nice library in his house over there. Put on camera and sit there. Where the ulama will be then? You can't even touch them. They'll all be, mashallah, on the YouTube and all the TikTok and Instagram, etc. And you can imagine now what deen will become. What big show will be. One doing, outdoing the next one. So no need for that room anymore. So you all sit at home now. Right. And I have my nice library back home. Put the camera on and hold the dars. And subhanallah, you're making revenue also at the same time. That will become deen after that. that will become mean after that. Alright. So the only thing left will be just come to the masjid for namaz. Everything else will do it online. But this time deen is a personal touch. And together with that also, all is now the difference of opinion, so to say, which many mashayikhs is a difference of opinion, is haqq and batil. Is wrong. Is erroneous, is a mistake, the fatwa is not correct. Okay, they will take it to be, I'm just saying. But then Hazrat said, look at the outcome of this permission given. Was the outcome any taqwa, any piety, any goodness? You all can say, right? Outcome of photography and videoing, what was the outcome? Any goodness? Maybe you saw some good in it, I don't know. This is just showing what was the outcome, or even makes it haram. Now with the weekend, what things came to the fore in regards to youth, what they are doing with this photography, something called catfish, you'll hear about it, right? Catfish, you didn't hear about it. Hazrat says the mufti has to know these things. Hazrat mentioned over the weekend, the mufti has to, somebody asked him, how much must we know about what's happening out there? He said the mufti has to know everything. Not even the slang also. Does even know the slang, so they don't get caught because they will give fatawa. They will educate them. Now he doesn't know anything what's happening out there. That's why they say, Malam ya'rifi zaman fa huwa jahil. Because he doesn't know what's happening in the times, he's ignorant. He must know what's happening right now. Because he will give you the fatawa. You see, you gotta learn the slangs also. Otherwise the youngsters will catch you out. So you gotta know what they're speaking, how they're speaking. So accordingly, you can educate them and you can teach them. Catfish has become a very common thing. I heard this before, but it's become very, very common nowadays. Where in schools, a certain group of boys don't like a certain boy in the class. Oh, he's a friend also. But they're gonna catch him out. Even among the girls. So boys get together, they open a fake account as a girl. And so to say, they stalk this guy. Send him pictures and, you know, likes and this and that. Let's talk. Till he gets comfortable. And it goes on for months sometimes, if not for years. And he's thinking like he's talking to a girl. To the extent he gets so comfortable that he starts sending his personal pictures to this girl, so to say. And they keep all of this. They keep all of this, and sometimes maybe during school time or after that, he's getting married, or he's married already, in a blackmail him. And they extort money from him. You've got all your files. They'll blast it. There was one case came recently also, a person in his days of Jahiliyyah and clubbing, etc., with friends, all those pictures when they were in their own frenzy, those pictures were taken, one friend kept it in a cloud. Now the youngster changed his life, became muttaqi and pious, got married also. Why doesn't he know about his background? 100%. Now their friend put one of the status. Him and his friend in the old days. Somebody phoned, you know what, the guy posted a picture of you. Wife doesn't know anything about it. Yeah. Then the guy sent him a message. Maybe 5,000 men. You better do EFT now. By tonight, I'll be releasing all the files. Called catfish. So youngsters are doing this now. Where is the goodness out of it? Nobody saw goodness. And the amount of ladies right now, in the last month maybe, we are getting involved with men. Now, that too, Facebook. Let's do a search of the class of what? 99, class of 2000. Where's the old friends that they've gone to? This guy, I remember him. This guy was a cute guy in class. I wonder if he got married or not. He just sent me one. Salams. How's it going? First he put there, was Salams divorced? Oh, he's back in the game. He's divorced. Hey, we had a thing before. This guy is divorced. Right. How's life with you? Hey, problems with the husband. Oh, now we talk. Finish. No problem. Disaster. I made a mistake. And start chatting. This happens so commonly right now. And you know that all files of school where somebody likes somebody, alright, maybe they had a common number together. Alright, a common number together. As when Ali said also that those certain haram music numbers, because he shared it with a certain girl that time, and when he hears it now, 40 years later, all the memories come flooding back into his mind. See, those were the days. Wife doesn't know, but they're going shopping together, he's pushing the trolley, now they're playing it in the supermarket, and he's tapping the trolley. Yeah, what happened to you, Monisha? Old files are they playing still now? Yeah, I remember that one. Now he's smiling. Who is smiling? I think you're there. You make Toba properly. So to erase it completely. So all comes back again with that Facebook. Everything comes like a storm. Now let's just meet up for all time's sake. See how you're keeping, and how's it going, how's life treated you, and one thing to the other. But really, you know, this guy really understood me. My husband don't understand. This guy, from young, we had the type of this relationship, he understood me. Holy starts all over again. Innocently, how can you be innocent? You're not innocent. Allah Ta'ala save us. So Hazrat says, leave the whole ikhtilaf, the outcome of it already is absolutely compounded haram. There is nothing good that came out in there. Nothing whatsoever, the good that came out in there. So there are many other reports, there's no time to go into it, but this one thing that came. But now how do we tackle this thing also? Now, the discussion was, the only way to tackle this fitna is go back to what the Kings have taught us 30, 40 years ago. Zina al-ayn al-nazar. Zina of the eyes is to look at haram. Now who's are looking at it? The Instagram, you open the thing already. Already haram in your face already. Facebook already full of haram over there. But nobody regards this as the zina of the eyes to be haram. It's now, there's nothing really. But you don't understand, you're breaking down your taqwa. After 5 days, 6 days, you go into the wrong things. So cut it from the root. As Hakim Sahib Rahimullah, every bayan more or less, talking about bad nazri, bad nazri, bad nazri, till you felt it. Even if you go off a little bit, you come back again, right? Go on, again and repeat it. Now, more than ever, when they made photography at jais and videoing also jais, now the time ready to discuss this masail. Let's just have more on the solutions, inshallah. The eighth quality of a sheikh, his words must be akin to those of preceding Buzrug An-Nadim. Ninth, he must have been granted ijazah, permission from a kamil sheikh. The sheikh al-kamil gave him permission now to initiate majlis. This can start on your own. Now I start zikr on my own, but who gave you permission to make zikr? To start majlis also, somebody must authorize you. Because you become a spiritual doctor. Now imagine nobody authorized you. Now, you know, I can open a YouTube channel and I can guide the people. Who gave you the permission? Now, how many we hear the Darul Uloom and Mashayikh are actually cancelling the sanads, cancelling the, what do you say, the sanad? Certificates of those students who studied by them. Happened now recently, already we heard 2 or 3. Right? The ustaz were actually compelled now to cancel the sanad, the unit study bars. Some of them were delisted of Unoma was students. To that extent now it's gone. Where in public you're doing such major sins that we can't. And people say, oh, you're that student, and that ustaz, that darul. Say, now you can't distribute yourself to us. So there has to be permission from Sheikh al-Kamil. Now under his tutorship, under his shadow, you can guide people. That's a very important. Any alim, any sheikh, that's what you say, who is he linked to? Zakim Sahib Rahimullah will say, La tattakhidhu baba, man la baba lah. Don't call that person your father, who doesn't know his father. Hey, Papa, who's your father? I don't know really. Then really, are you my father then? He tells you, I don't know also. You can't call him your father then. So how can you call that person your sheikh if he doesn't have a sheikh? Right, like one person came and told me, he was a qualified qari. So I asked him, by who are you looking? By who said the qirat? Sheikh Abdul Basit, rahimahullah, Abdul Basit. Subhanallah. So which year you were born? He said, I heard his cassettes. I said, oh, mashallah. In that case, now if you follow YouTube, we can become a sheikh also then. Become an alim also. So that's how he became a qari, by listening to the cassettes. So, Allah, nobody will give you a sanad that you became a qari now. The same way, you know, to guide the masses, is you will ask the person, but under whose mashwara you doing it? This has to be somebody above you. Alaykum bi akabirikum, al barakatu ma'a akabirikum. That whole strong to your seniors and work under their guidance. So he has to have a Shaykh Kamil who authorizes him to start the dhikr. How to make the dhikr, he has to learn also, and also the majalis. And the tenth quality of a Shaykh Kamil, the condition of the majority of his murid will be sound. The condition of the majority of his murid will be sound. What does it mean will be sound? That they heard directly from, I heard directly from my murshid repeatedly. That it shouldn't be such a khanka now that the murids are not sound in the taqwa. Things don't look right over here. Some bid'ah taking place over here. There's no real Shariat over here, what's happening. Majority of them, when it comes to their life, there's no sunnats. Alright? And there's no commands of Allah. And they're having functions upon functions, they're doing different things. What is the Shaykh teaching them? You see, there's no Sharia here. So most of the murid are like this, etc., not the khanka to join. At this juncture, can we finish it, right? Just two more paragraphs left. At this juncture, two points are worthy of attention. Number one, it is neither necessary for a Shaykh Kamil, a perfect guide, to have kashf or karamat. Then my Shaykh must have kashf. You can read me through and through. No, then he is my Shaykh. Oh, karamat, he must show some miracle. So what is kashf? Glimpses of the unseen or supernatural acts to take place at his hands. Then now the Shaykh now, for certain things, hey, I felt like I was out of this world. Ah, now this man is a Shaykh. Not necessarily. Nor is it necessary for him to be a tariq kashf, one who has given up, tariq kasb, one who has given up earning also. A Shaykh living in tawakkul. Is that of that caliber? Then he can't be a Shaykh. A person not working also, living on tawakkul only. No, not necessarily. What is required from him is not to hanker after and have greed for the world. Then as it says in poetry form, not a beloved is one, not a beloved is one who has long locks of hair and sits upon a swing. The illuminated servant is one who experiences the state of love. Secondly, for the purpose of teaching and instructing along this path of bayat is not conditional. Secondly, for the purpose of teaching and instructing along this path, bayat is not conditional. To learn from somebody, the Shaykh, is not conditioned that you are to, that you become bayat to him. It's not necessary. It's not farz. Hazrat will say that islah karna farz hai, or bayat karna sunnat hai. To take bayat is sunnat. Alright? But also, it's a sunnah, you'll get reward for it. And also, to make islah is farz. He says sometimes some people without binding themselves, islah doesn't get made. Then they'll carry on, sometimes they'll come for this majlis, sometimes for that Shaykh's majlis. They'll float around, but no islah taking place. They know islah, they're just clocking card, I should face here, I should face there, I know that alim also, I know that alim also. Then islah will not get made. It has to be concentrated, dedicated, like a doctor also. Right, I went for a first opinion, second opinion, and third opinion also. I'll see now whether I'll take the medication or not. What happens at the end of the day? You got three prescriptions, just leave it. I'll be alright. But I met all the doctors, they know me now, and I know them also. So anytime there's da'wat, I'll get invited also. Right? So that's what it is after that. So now I'll have lunch by this khanka, supper by that khanka, then tomorrow breakfast I'll go there also. So, alhamdulillah, I got everything checked. Person never benefit. He gets spoiled. His heart will get spoiled. That's what they say sometimes. We have to bind ourselves. The bay'at being masnoon, an act performed by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is another matter altogether. For how many servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are they not who have reached the objective destination without having resorted to bay'at, but by submitting obediently to the mu'allim instructor? So, although they weren't bay'at, but they had the open connections till they spoke. And they will sit and they will make mashwara. And by informing him of the inner conditions, that's how they benefited. How many of murid on the other hand now doesn't have any affinity? He took bayat, he sits in the majlis, but there's no connection still. He won't open his condition to the Shaykh. So he'll get ilm, knowledge, but his islah will not be made. Experience and direct observation bear clear testimony to this fact. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding, inshallah.